أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
will lead to hellfire. abjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Insha'Allah, in this khutbah, this will be a continuation to the previous khutbah, which we talked about Al-Isra and the Mi'raj, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned concerning the journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran in a chapter called Al-Isra. And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses has glorified himself Almighty for taking his slave servant, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by a night in a journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَتِنَا, to show him from our signs. And here when we come to reflect on this word, our signs, our miracles, the miracle, you view it according to the one who perform it. And when Allah said this is our sign, that means the sign will be so great because it is Allah's signs. This is Allah's work, and no one can match Allah's work, and no one can be greater than Allah in his work. And as a result of this, he took his slave, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a moment during the night, in a journey which is the people in that time have no means or expectation for traveling so fast from Mecca to Jerusalem and coming back, not in the same night, not even in the same month. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this journey in a part of the night, and in addition to this, he ascended him to the seven heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him from the great signs of his subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got to see his river Al-Kawthar. He got to observe the Jannah. He got to see Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to see Jibreel in the real form with 600 wings in the way that Allah had created him. He got to see a lot from Allah's signs. And he reached to Sidrat Al-Muntaha, and he became in a place and in a position that he was able to hear the writing of the angels, Sariril Al-Aqlam, writing the deed and the qadr. He was in a place that he was able to hear, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Rufi'at Al-Aqlam wa jaffat Al-Suhuf. It spins which it writes the decreed of the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to a place that he was able to hear the scratching on the surface and hear the writing of the pens of the angels. But among all the things, we want to talk about one or few things today out of these things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed during his journey. One thing we need to make a stop with it, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he ascended to the seven heaven, he made a stop by Jerusalem, by the mosque. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented all the previous messengers. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He led them in the salah. And this shows you the most important thing in your life is the salah. He led them in salah. Don't understand how can be salah and Salah been made obligatory after the Prophet went up to Allah, but with Salah, but with no obligatory Salah, with the number of five. The most important issue to understand the importance of the Salah, but this not only here, I want to get your attention. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he led all the prophets in Salah. And this is teaching you the position of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the position of this ummah. It's been put from day one to be for a leadership. And all the prophets before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they stood behind him as a followers. So this deen is not been bought to be mixed with other beliefs or to be part or to be compared with other beliefs. And this is, shows you the great mistake of those people who get involved in so-called interfaith. There is nothing called interfaith. There is one faith which Allah put it and accepted, and he said, وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah had chosen and pleased with Islam as a way of life, not any other way, not any other way. And Allah made it clear, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whosoever takes any other way to Allah different from Islam is not going to be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he be among the losers. So how can Muslims allow themselves to lead movements or to be part of movements so-called interfaith? There is no interfaith. There is one way called As-Sirat al-Mustaqim. And whosoever accepts As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, accepted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accepted the Quran, accepted the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those are the people on As-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Those are the only people that go to Jannah. Other than this, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whosoever take any way to Allah different from Islam is not going to be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he be among the losers. So I hope that with us viewing the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led all the prophets, and nobody else led the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this deen is been bought for a leadership. And this ummah, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. And Allah made this nation to be a wasat nation, and to be the best nation to be witness against all mankind. But when they establish what Allah commands, when they take in consideration the establishment of joining the good and forbidding the bad, but when they are not doing it, they're going to be the worst of all nations. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in leadership, and his deen supposed to be in leadership, and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only way that's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my advice today for those who drumming or clapping for so-called interfaith movement, sitting on it, publicize it, or march for it, or try to be part of it, it's time to stop wasting your time playing with your belief. Wash your hands out of it, because this is not for a Muslim. Believe it or not, a true Jew is not going to sit on a table for interfaith. I'm telling you from experience, and from talking with people, a true Christian is not going to sit on the table to negotiate and compromise and discuss his religion to be interfaith with other religion, like somebody who told me face to face he's a Jehovah Witness, and I asked him what he think or what he do about interfaith. He said, this not for me, because I don't compromise my religion, neither I go with somebody to discuss about my religion in a form, what you got is right and what I got is right. All of us worshiping God, we have only different way to approach God. This is not true. And Jehovah's Witness told me that he did not even sit with other Christians. all of them supposed to be Christian. But he doesn't sit with somebody else because he believes his way is the only way, so it's no compromise. How can a Muslim claim to be Muslim to get so involved in such a thing, discussion, and bloodsizing for it, and be part of it, and after they think they're doing something wrong? The Prophet ﷺ led the prophets. They prayed behind him. He's a leader, his deen for leader, and his ummah to be for a leadership, and is nothing except to follow. And the Prophet ﷺ had informed us, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ كَانَ مُوسَى بْنَ عِمْرَانَ حَيًّا مَا وَسِعَهُ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعِ. One day Umar ibn al-Khattab coming with a copy or something written from the Bible, and he come in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, start to read. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face started to change out of displeasure and angry, and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq said, what's wrong with you, Umar? You don't see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you don't look to his face. He say, I seek refuge in Allah's anger. Oh Prophet of Allah, what did I do? After this, the Prophet ﷺ told him, what's wrong with you? I brought this mission and this Islam pure, clean. What's wrong? I swear by Allah, if Moses himself, the one who been given this book, the Torah, who been given the Torah, if he's still alive, he have no choice except to leave and follow my way. Subhanallah. The words of the Prophet ﷺ so clear. If Musa himself is still alive in my time, he have no choice except to follow me. And this is the reason we're saying that when Isa alayhi salam come back, the second coming, is not becoming as a leader. And when he comes and the Mahdi leading the Salah, and the Mahdi will step back, try to go back and tell him to lead the Salah, he said, no, your imams are from you, among you, you lead the Salah. He prayed behind him. He doesn't come as a new prophet or to preach the message, and one of his work is to break the cross and kill the swine. So brothers and sisters, and I see sisters also, don't deceive yourself assuming you're doing something right while you are going astray from the way of the Prophet ﷺ. There is no interface, there is no compromise, there is nothing called your deen is good, my deen is good, your way is right, my way is right, no, our way is right, any other ways to Allah is wrong. And any Muslim, even if you did not participate in interfaith movement, if you believe different from this, this is so dangerous, it can lead you to kufr. If you believe all the ways leading to Allah, this will turn you to kufr if you know. So I'm warning everybody to stay away from it and have the proper understanding about your deen. Another point in the journey of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been presented by two vessels, one from milk and one from wine. فاختار صلى الله عليه وسلم اللبن فقال له جبريل هديت إلى الفطرة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم been presented during the journey with two vessels, two cups, two glasses, two bottles. One is milk and one is wine, with no any indication or explanation. Then presented to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we can use this term, automatically he chewed the milk. What Jibreel has coming, you've been led to the fitrah. If you choose the otherwise, the other kind, your ummah will go astray. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to choose the milk. And we send peace and the blessing on our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had to choose the milk. What I want to come in here, my brothers and sisters, Hudita ila al-fitra. Jibreel didn't give him any explanation in the beginning, but the fitra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same fitra, the upright nature that led the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave Mecca and go out and sit on the mountains, thinking and reflecting. It could not be the statues, idols. These people worshiping stones, rocks. This could not be. His own fitra is disturbing him, bothering him, telling him this has to be wrong. There is other way. This could not be as-sirat al-mustaqim. And finally, the wahi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where? While he was sitting there in the ghar, in the cave, staying away from all this filth of jahiliyyah, trying to figure and see, because his heart, his conscience, telling him that this is not right, it has to be something else. So when he been given the milk and the wine, he chose the milk. Why? Because every one of us, brothers, have this nature. Allah, when he created you, he made something in you. Is it a piece of flesh? Is some kind of a feeling, whatever in you, that you will know what is right, what's wrong. But we deviate. Why? Listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Every child is born in the upright nature, but his parents are the one who turn to him to be a Jew or a Christian or a worshipper of fire or whatever other belief. But this child, if you leave it alone without disturbing the environment, what is the environment in this moment? The father and the mother, nobody else. A baby, infant, child, from day one until 3, 4, 5 years old, what is the environment? Nothing except his parents, nothing except the family. So if the family, if the parents is corrupted, this what is going to change the nature, the upright instinct of the child and make him turn to something else. Is the belief, is the behavior, and whatever that you're doing in your house, this what your child is going to be imitating you and follow you. And it will turn him from being in the upright nature, which is in Islam. So that means if you leave the child without any disturbance from the environment, immediate environment or the other environment of the neighbors, the public school, the society, he will grow to be a Muslim, because Allah already had put this in him. So he doesn't need too much philosophy, too much explanation that Allah is there, that Allah is one. He could not. You could not take a child and keep him from everything, and after this he will say to you, God is three in one or one in three. No way. Because his nature is not going to tell him this. His feeling, his heart, his mind is not going to teach him. The corruption came from where? From the environment. So what we're learning? We're learning the seriousness of the responsibility found in us as a parent. And we need to set ourselves as a good example for our children. If you're praying, your child will grow praying, even he doesn't know what's praying. If the mother covering, now the little girl will be trying to cover because she see her mother cover and she doesn't know what is covering. She doesn't know what's hijab. If she see her mother putting makeup, perfume, all this stuff before she go out and doing all this haram, she also make put a makeup and do the same thing. We have to watch for our action, our behavior, what we're doing. We need to set ourselves as a good example for our children, so we did not be means of destruction. Instead of building our children, we're destroying our children. Why we're not paying attention? Now you take this upright nature that Allah created in the child and you turn it by your example. And here I will say a quick word. So watch for the environment, and if you have a right environment in the first 3-4 years, don't corrupt the environment of the child when he is 5 and 6 years. And one example, by taking the child and putting the child in the public school, it's corruption. It's a corruption. And again, a true Jew is not going to put his child in a public school. I challenge you. I used to live in New York, in Brooklyn, and I saw it with my own eyes. You see, there's a Jew that shaved his beard. It's not. Because if you really believe, you will see the curly hair, you will see the hat, you will see the coat, and you will see the beard. That big. in the airport, everywhere. And this kind of Hasidic Jews, they did not send their children to public school. But you found among the Muslims those who will send their children to public school. So we are responsible about where our children are going to be. And the environment is going to corrupt our children or is going to improve their condition and make them to remain in the upright nature which Allah has created them. So the same way the Prophet ﷺ been guided to drink the milk, because his upright nature, his clean nature, Allah guided him to choose it. The same way our children are born in the upright nature, so we shouldn't be a means of corruption for our children. Another view and another step was the journey of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ saw something was so disturbing and was so strange. He saw people, they have nails made out of copper metal, and they scratch in their faces and their chest. Strange. The people, their nails made out of metal, and they using their nails to destroy their own faces and their own chest. What is going on, Gabriel? What is this? See, those people who backbiting others, slandering others, talking about other people. How serious it is. How do you feel that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment give you nails out of copper and metal and you'll be scratching your own face? Who are those people? Those are the people who used to backbite others, slander others. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ni'mah of the tongue. Let's try to use it, not abuse it. And it is a sign of faith that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut. If you believe in Allah, believe in the day of the judgment, you're going to be resurrected, you're going to be questioned about everything, even what you say, say something good or be quiet. Especially brothers, when it comes about talking about our Muslim brothers and sisters. أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. Does anyone of you would like to eat the dead flesh of his own brother? So when you backbite, slander, especially Muslims, as if you are eating the flesh of your brother dead. We don't eat the flesh of a human being. And if we eat the flesh of a human being, we don't eat it dead. And if we eat it dead, we are not going to eat the flesh of our own brothers, because they have more relationship to us and we love them and we respect them, so we are not going to be doing this to their body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you, when you're doing this, when you're talking about so and so and sister so and so and so and so and corrupting the people like this, because you're only talking, wasting time. But you don't know how much damage you cause in the community, you cause in the school, causing the Muslims with your words, sitting in the phone for half an hour talking about so and so, and she did, and he did, and they did. It's not our business. Allah is watching, is the Sami' and Basir. He knows, He sees. If you really care for this brother or this sister, why you don't go pay him visit and advise him for the sake of Allah? This is not the way of Muslims. This is not the way of Muslims. And we let's remember in the journey of the Prophet ﷺ of Al-Isra and Mi'raj, he saw this horrible scene, and we always have to keep it in mind. This will help us, that when we start talk about somebody, remember this, it will help us to close our mouths, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for listening. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. With the journey of الإسراء and المعراج, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw people that their lips, their tongues, their mouths been cut with scissors, and scissors are made out of fire. It was surprising for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see this. And again he questioned Jibreel alayhi salam, who are these people? What did they do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those are the people who given lectures, seminars, khutbah, teaching others, but only for business, only for commercialize. That means the preaching, but they forgot in their own self. Don't think brothers standing on a member like this is an easy job. And I'm saying this to myself before I say it to anybody. This is a very serious position. And if you don't believe in what you preach, it's not going to reach the people's hearts. If you could not convince yourself first and be a good example by your action before your words, it's not going to go anywhere. And the result, in the day of judgment, those khutabah and those teachers and those hafiz and those doctors who give lectures here and there will be made scissors for them from fire, which will be cut their lips and their mouths. So listen, anytime we try to advise somebody, teach somebody, preach somebody, really think, are you doing it for Allah? Did you apply it yourself first before you talk to somebody? Or do you always try to put people down, showing them that they are not doing this and that? Are you applying this to yourself? Are you applying it to yourself before you talk about it? If not, be careful. Be careful. Again, the time approaching to talk more about, but one last thing I want to say. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless us that we're still alive, and the month of Sha'ban is here. And we praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us alive until Ramadan comes, inshallah, so we can increase our blessings, and we have means for a serious repentance. But this a month which we need to take advantage of it. Again, take advantage according to the Sunnah. Like I said, people, they go and celebrate Isra and Mi'raj. And there is nothing in Quran or Sunnah about celebrating Isra and Mi'raj. Now in Sha'ban, some Muslims, they go and celebrate the middle of Sha'ban. There is no anything to celebrate the middle of Sha'ban. Why we don't follow the Sunnah? Now, you concerned about the Sunnah? This is Sha'ban. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha told us, كان يصوم شعبان إلا قليلا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast the most of Sha'ban. Now you want to get closer to Allah, this is the month of Sha'ban. And they try now to increase your fasting, get more closer to Allah. Get more closer to Allah by fasting during this month. Don't wait until the middle of Sha'ban and the night of Jum'ah, and now you're going to make a big feast and bring the people and reading the Quran and doing all the things which is not in any place in Quran or Sunnah. Let's be concerned about the Sunnah, my brothers. Let's be the people of Sunnah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his journey, he saw Al-Kawthar. He saw this beautiful river that he have in Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be giving us to drink from this river, inshallah. But for those people who invent, the angels will take them to the side. They will separate them from the ummah. And they will say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says, this is my ummah, say, innaka la tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak. You don't know what these people had added and delete and be changing the deen after you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't be careful for these people. So let's take the baggage as it came. The package is not for addition or deletion. The package is to follow and to practice, not for anything else. This deen is complete. It didn't come for you to choose, to pick and choose, add and delete. So what we need to do in Sha'ban, try to do as much fasting as we can. And in the middle of Sha'ban, there is no celebration, nothing, because no anything in this in Quran, in the Sunnah. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness for me and you and all the Muslims for their sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our problems and our hardship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the people of Sunnah and the people who follow the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad.